So we have to bring out more chairs. This is not usually what happens. So we're excited to have you here. We are holding this board session at the City Council. I'm Mayor Anderson. And this meeting is being held at the Community Recreation Center in Cedar Hills. And we are beginning at 6:02 PM. And the first item that we have on our work session agenda is the new City Council meeting members and administration of the oath of office. So our reporter, Kim Nolte, will be administering the oath of office to all of the council members. I'm going to let Councilwoman Smith say just a few words. No, she's going to be an advisor here, so I want you to have to get a little bit more lady. Okay, I'll stand up so you can see. So I'm Councilmember Kelly Smith, and I'll just go for the calling if you can hear me. And we're just so excited. We had a really good turnout for people to rejoin and join the council. And we're super excited about the things that you guys will plan. So basically, you get to decide what we do this year. You get to decide what the focus is, how you want to serve the community, the events that you want to have, bring other residents in. And so that's kind of the exciting piece for me, is I'm not sure what we're going to do, because you get to choose. So we're excited to have you. I think we have about 23, 24 members. That's really exciting. And I think, are we going to have them introduce themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think maybe we'll just start like front row, go all the way across, and then we'll go back this way and just have you come up and just tell us your name and where you are.
Yeah, you can as well.
Well, I think Colleen would be helpful to get the microphone.
Okay. Yes.
So come to the microphone.
Get used to it.
Maybe just tell us your name and the year you are in school. Let's just start there.
And if you hold an office when we have elections last week, what are your office?
Hey,
do you
want to
start?
Yeah. I'm Bella Anderson, and I'm a junior, and I'm the secretary.
I'm Charles Price. I'm a senior in high school, and I am in the City Council.
I'm Dickie Kennedy, and I am a junior.
I'm Joe Badger, and I'm a ninth grader.
I'm Kaylee Augustus, and I'm a freshman.
I'm Ashley Beasley, and I'm a freshman.
I'm Jared Scott, and I am a ninth grader.
I'm Lily Brady, and I am a sophomore.
I'm Cheryl Tin, and I'm a sophomore, and I'm the treasurer.
I'm Jesse Williams, and I'm a senior.
I'm Ellie Gridla. I'm in ninth grade, and I'm the pro mayor.
I'm Kelsey Lucy, and I'm in ninth grade.
I'm Haley Campbell. I'm in 10th grade, and I'm with Hopelessness.
I'm Allison Olson, and I'm in 10th grade.
I'm Jasmine Turner, and I'm in.
I'm Sammy Bingham, and I am senior.
I'm Nathan Young, I'm a freshman, and I'm publicity chair.
Balsam, and I'm in ninth grade.
Isabella Kanigan, and I'm a sophomore.
I'm Nick Walkline, I'm a junior.
You need to do this by roll call.
We do. Okay, roll call. Councilmember Geddes.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith. Aye. Councilmember Ellison.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
That is unanimous vote, so we are just going to.
Number nine, the Ministry of Code Enforcement. Let's see how that's like bold. Yeah, it's a bit of reading there. Yeah, so the history on this one is that in the past, something the city's really struggled to kind of get across the finish line is when there's a nuisance violation, it's really easy for us to go out and issue a citation. What then becomes harder is because we're not the police, it's hard to collect on that citation. So there's a rule that you have to put in a lawn in the front yard within a year of taking occupancy of your house. And that year goes by and you didn't put your lawn in, and we'll start issuing you a citation, right? And collecting on that sort of the teeth of the ordinance is just, they just weren't there. You know, so we tried putting it on utility bills as a zoning violation. And that worked a little bit, but the challenge with that is that you've got to give the person that receives the citation or the violation, they've got to be able to go through a due process. So when they receive their citation or violation, they've got to be able to have that time period where they can appeal that and say, here's what's really going on. So that they're establishing that due process for us. And it just wasn't being followed that well. So we went to Credit and Hiring to help us put together a code enforcement program that kind of gives us that teeth. And the teeth in this is that the very end of the code. Well, it establishes the steps by which Jenny, or a code enforcement official, will go through to correct nuisances, and to correct not just nuisances, but extend that to code violation, right? And the first step is always a courtesy notice. And the state put out a bill 1 or 2 years ago that the cities have to put out a courtesy notice. Like, this is, you have to just accept anything in instances of an emergency, right? Which are few and far between. But the first step is that Jenny will issue a courtesy notice to a resident saying, you know, it's kind of our attention that your property is in violation of such and such ordinance. You have such and such days to remedy this, whatever we find. Time goes by, they don't make a correction, they're then issued an administrative notice or violation. At that point, it's just the follow-up, saying here's the teeth. And you have, and the violation will say how many days they have to appeal that. And once the appeal period is over, then it can be issued as a citation. And we'll just mail them the citation. And again, let's say that they don't pay that, because that was kind of the problem we ran into before. This code gives us, at the very end, gives us the ability on 4-4C-4 to go to the tax and say, okay, you didn't put your yard in, and you haven't put your yard in for, you know, one instance where all my people built in the 70s. You know, we're not going to charge for that to the 70s. we can go say his violation is now like $500. Right? It's a significant amount of money. And we're just going to send him the bill and say, this is it. And, you know, he hasn't appealed it, he hasn't applied it, there's just been no teeth. Well, now we can file a tax lien, and it'll be collected without the tax. So that's the teeth.
So tax lien gets satisfied when they have to get it.
When they square with their property.
So that's just $500.
Per year. It could be per year.
Okay.
So how does that actually work? How are you able to, do you send a notice to the county and gas, and then they show up as like a special assessment for the city of Cedar Hills on their property.
I don't know how shy, I don't know what the verbiage would be when it shows up. Karen, do you know what the actual verbiage on their tax bill?
I don't know what they call it.
I've never seen it, so I'm just curious. That's interesting.
We'll have to issue one and see if you can ask on your tax bill.
Issue
my
one, and then Mike can tell us what his
No, that's it. But Councilman Reynolds, that's your that's a good question. So with that, so we're going to stop issuing violations of zoning laws and nuisances through the utility bill. However, I have instructed staff to on water violations, because that's a utility violation, to rather than the bill say zoning violation, it'll say water utility violation, and we'll be billing for water violations through the utility bill, because there's a nexus between the use and the bill that's clearly transparent and makes sense.
And how long do we usually go before, like, we would turn water off without changing the bill?
They have to get $250 behind on their bill, which actually is probably something that the city council probably should look at, because that's been the threshold for a number of years. And as we've increased rates, it's very easy to get to $250.
That's about 2 months, probably.
Well, it's on, I would say it's probably, on average bill, it's probably hovering around 2 months.
I think it's 200 right now. They might be looking at 250.
Okay, yeah, I think that was a conversation I had. Thank you. It is 200, so it's probably 1.8 months. And so, yeah, I think we had talked about raising it to 250. That's what it was. So I think that's a threshold we need to discuss.
So why a dollar amount instead of a time amount? Like 30 days passing or 60 days passing.
Well, because sometimes you get like the snowbirds, right? And they shut their water off, so they're paying the base rate. And let's say their bill is like $80. Right? It'll take a couple months before they hit the threshold. But I think 250 has been a nice, or sorry, 200 has been just kind of a clean break rather than a day. We could try a days behind, but then people will push it that much. I think if you go to days as well, so rather than 60 days behind, so if it isn't in 2 billing cycles, it'll be a lot more than 200. And we're starting to see a few that are, I've seen some that are like $400 or $500 behind. So.
Yeah, And right now, there's still teeth in that.
No, no, there's teeth in that, because when that's the case, we can push it off the water.
But we're just not, like, we have some of the four and five.
No, no, we shut off the water. No, that one got teeth in it.
Trouble is you can't shut off PI.
You can't shut off PI, and you can't shut off the sewer. But. But when the water stops working, they will start paying the bill.
Or even like last month, mine.
And that sounds very draconian, but honestly, we've had staff, and Charles' staff has been wonderful at working out payment plans with people. You know, and we'll give people, like, if we'll waive one late fee per year for every household. We try to work with people as much as we can, you know, and then when, sometimes, although, you know, there's people that reappear on the shut-off list every month, and so you have to be careful about how you work with them. There's certain times you just can't set up a payment plan, because in the past, when you notice the account, you can see that they have not paid according to a payment plan.
Yeah,
Did you say something, grandma?
Well, sure. I mean, I just did a bad debt expense update, and I mean, what we send to collections is probably less than 0.3%. So we eventually get everything for 99.7%. And then we try to err on compassion, like you said, but there's some people that have been on the shutoff like 35 times.
I've seen the limit of the shutoff, it's up in the 60s and 70s.
And then we also have renters, and so we're stricter with renters because they have to get approval from their landlord if we're going to push it over that amount, because the landlord will then end up having to pay for it. So it's up to the landlord if they want us to let us work out something more lenient. But we don't want to leave the landlord with $1,000 and pay on their own.
And then Cedar Hills, just to be clear, because I know Highland's different. In Highland, the home has to stay in the homeowner's name.
We let them switch to a rental. The homeowner has to approve.
Okay.
So that's what Charles is saying. The homeowner has to acknowledge that they're they're allowing the utilities to be in the renter's name. Okay. And with that, Charles, to Charles' point, is we've had a really high collection rate, so. It hasn't been an issue.
It's not. Yeah. Tara, our staff in the past have done a really good job. So. And they're very compassionate, I think, overall.
Yeah.
If someone's, like, credit card expires, we work with them or something like that.
That's what mine did last month, and I would have been in the shutoff because I had no clue.
Yeah. Well, you should get notifications that your credit card for 3 months in advance that it's expiring, and get emails from Express Bill Pay.
Oh, I should check my notifications.
Yeah.
And not just assume that all my bills are on. There's a lot of issues here. I didn't even call for my $10, but it's fine.
You can do that.
And now I'm on the record, so. Okay. Thanks. Any
other questions on this one? I can give more detail, but that's kind of a quick process.
So do you
want to
address
the
Sir
Cafe? Yeah, I'll give you some background on the Sir Cafe. Laura, the purveyor of the grill in here, first of all, she's done wonderful. She's been our best tenant by far. The food is great, the service is great, the service is consistent, she pays the rent, she checks all the boxes, she tries to advertise, she's doing everything she needs to do. She approached me about a month ago and asked about two things that she wanted to change in the contract. She's been through a year now of being in the clubhouse, and there's two things that she'd like to have us revisit. First one I think is really easy. If there's a 10% surcharge on all the events that she caters in this room, right? And I didn't think about it at the time, but it makes sense to me that if she's going to try to make the same amount of profit as her competitors in this room, then she's having to add 10% of cost. So she's losing out on that, right? And quite frankly, that 10% doesn't really mean a whole lot to us as a city. But we do want to see her successful. The reason we want to see her successful is because when there's a food option in the grill, it's great for the golf. It's great for the golfers. Not only that, I've seen a lot of community members come in during the day. As I walked into the building tonight, there were two younger girls in there, and they had dinner, and they were clearly studying. I mean, who studies in our space? So that, to me, that's an easy change to make. Second change is she is requesting a beer recreational license. And this one is a little bit more tricky in that I do think that the city just needs to navigate it properly. So we have in the past, we granted this to a former tenant, Cameron, I forget the name of his grammar.
I forget the business. Asian business, whatever it was.
I forget the name of what the girl was called at the time, I'm sorry. Well, we allowed him the opportunity to get a business, a beer license to sell beer out of the grill. He never pursued it. He never did it.
He never did it.
Now, if the argument is we don't want alcohol on our golf course, I'm going to say don't be naive. It's all right here. Something to consider on this is that this does give the city the teeth to, this gives the city the ability to regulate it a little better. In that we can say, if you're going to drink alcohol on the course, it has to come from us. So we can watch, we can say who's getting what, how much they're getting. We can say that we don't want you to bring alcohol from outside. This doesn't give her the ability to sell hard liquor and wines and spirits. It's just light beer. It's less than 5%. I put a call into the Division of Alcohol Beverage Control today to ask them some questions. So the license would be a beer recreational license. Signs must be posted in the grill. Employees selling and serving must be 21. Anyone handling the alcohol must be 21. The employees must go through training. Liquor, wine, heavy beer must never be consumed on the premises. And then I asked them a question about the premises. In our contract, we define the premises as the grill. We are obviously a sales company, naive. Golfers want to drink on the course. In her application, she would have to define where in this facility is the premises that alcohol can be consumed on. And I'm saying that alcohol can be consumed on the grill area, the patio area, and the golf course. You would exclude the pro shop, the parking lot, Vista room, the basement, hallways, offices, and bathrooms. So we'll kind of pigeonholing it into areas where we're okay with it being there. You can only sell from the grill. She would have to designate spots that she could sell from. So we would designate the grill. She doesn't run the snack shack down below. So she would have to say we're selling from the grill.
She can't put some orders on the course.
I think that's a question for DABC. But that's a good question. I think that there's twice more clarity that needs to be happening on that one.
Yeah. If I remember right, last time we went through this process, you said the premises, the UDABC defined the premises our address, which equates to the whole golf course.
Well, we could I asked the DABC if we could exclude certain parts of the area. She said absolutely.
Okay.
So in her application to the state, which have to show what the premises were.
Yeah. Okay, so to me, she has, mind you, they have the ability to order food now on our new system that we have. So she could have that on there and they can deliver it out there, but they wouldn't drive around.
Yeah, they cannot drive around and sell it, but our delivery is different. So if they're saying they want to sell in that case,
it's going to be as long as you want
correct. Last thing is, we specifically said we're not going to let alcohol vents rent the Vista room. Right? You remember that? We still don't want to see alcohol in this room. We still don't want to see alcohol in these events. So even though the DABC licenses are good from the morning to 1 in the morning, I would recommend that in any agreement with her, we say your shutoff period is 5 p.m. And that way, either people that are coming in for a wedding at 6 to 7 o'clock is typically when receptions start. You can't go to the grill, have a drink, come back, go to the grill, get a drink. Like, there's a clean delineation. If there's a wedding, you can't get alcohol. So I that would be a recommendation I would make. I think that's the main points. In granting the license, I'll finish the rest of my presentation.
Sure.